Text this morning will be in Colossians chapter 2, simply verse 19, but let me begin reading back in verse 16 for context. Therefore, verse 16 says, therefore no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, such things which are a mere shadow of what it was to come. But the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement or the worship of angels, taking a stand on visions he has seen, being inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. Verse 19. And not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and being held together by the joints and the ligaments, grows with a growth which comes from God. Father, we pray this morning you would give us understanding of your word, that you would reveal truth to us, and that your Spirit's presence would be evident as you lead our thoughts and you give us unity to glorify you. By the power of your Spirit, and in the name of our Savior, Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. This verse 19 is right in the middle of a warning, and the warning is going to continue on through the end of the chapter. It is a warning given to the church. It is a warning given to people like you and me. A warning to say, don't let others defraud you. Don't let others take you captive. No one else is to judge you. And the reason for this warning to us is not simply because we are to stand up and say, oh, no one's to be my judge. You can't look down upon me. That makes me feel bad. And I'll have none of it. That's not the purpose. The warning of this passage is that there may be some who will come in with very, as it says later on in verse 23, to have matters that they will bring before you that will have the appearance of wisdom. Things that you may hear and say, oh, well, that sounds good for my faith. That sounds like it would increase my standing before God or increase my ability to please Him. That would increase my ability to learn more of Him, to grow closer to Him. There are going to be things that will have the appearance of religious wisdom that we need to watch out for, that we need to guard against. I think most people in our culture, most people in the church today, if somebody came to you with something that appeared to be a wise religious type truth, they'd be like, well, that sounds great. What could be wrong with that? There's danger. Not just that others would judge you, but that others would convince you to go to their methods. That others would convince you through their judgment that they are right and that the gospel is not enough. That faith in Christ is not enough. There is a great danger here. Something terrifying is lurking and at risk. Just consider for a moment how often the Bible shows the most religious of peoples turning to the most vain things. Talked about that a little bit this morning in Tim's teaching, in the useless vine. Israel herself, God's chosen people, that God had created in this way and cared for and given them everything. And as we saw this morning, he asked the question, what more could I do? And there wasn't anything. And those people in their life and in their walk, in their self-importance, even in their religious observance, turned away over and over again. In some cases, it was very clear and obvious. You see God giving His covenant, and they turn away at the bottom of the mountain to go form a golden calf. hoping that that would help them. They would turn at times to human kings to protect them instead of to God, who channels the heart of every king. People that were so focused upon their religious teachings, going back to the Word of God, saying, well, if God's Word says this, if God's Word says that we shouldn't give anybody this sort of treatment, we'll stop here. If we shouldn't strike somebody this many times, we'll stop one short. If we shouldn't lust for a woman, we'll cover our eyes. If we shouldn't do any of these things, we will set our little rules and regulations here. Isn't that better? If we just focus upon never even getting close, we'll be okay, right? Doesn't that sound wise? And even in the midst of while they're doing that, they will not listen to God's only begotten Son in their midst. In fact, they crucify Him. Read the Scriptures and see how union with Jesus by faith and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit changes such people in an instant. I mean, when you read through the Gospels, and some people struggle when they go through the Gospels in a couple of different ways. One, they're looking at the Gospels and they don't recognize that Jesus is bringing an end to the Old Covenant and establishing the New. And if you don't know that reading through the Gospels, you're going to be confused. And some people have arrived at the sort of viewpoint that Jesus is almost schizophrenic. In places he's talking of grace and love, and in other places he's talking of judgment, and they can't figure out why. It's because he's bringing judgment upon the nation of Israel to establish the new covenant, which will embrace people of both Jew and Gentile nature, calling them to Himself through humility, through repentance, and through faith in Him. But even then, as we read through that, we look at His disciples and we see them just tumbling about, arguing who's going to be the greatest, while Jesus is there with them, praying, pleading, teaching, leading, and they're just clueless. And then His death and His crucifixion and His resurrection, and you see the disciples just staring. What do we do now? Go and wait for the promised Spirit. And when the Spirit comes, do we see any more of that sort of bumbling mentality? No, from immediately, Peter stands up and he preaches the gospel in power. And thousands are saved. And then the gospel takes off from there, and His people take off. And not only those who have been taught God's Word and God's Old Covenant and the Old Testament Scriptures, who now realize that Jesus is that promised Messiah, but people in other areas, other countries, other cities that had never even heard of Jesus before, never heard of God's ways and His law and His covenants before. Those sorts of people have the gospel preached to them, and guess what? The Holy Spirit works in them to where they immediately are proclaiming truth. Read and see how union with Jesus by faith and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit can change you in an instant and give you wisdom far above maturity, give you holiness instead of just trying to hide your sins, and can give you faith and love, which is the trademark of all who hold to Him, to Jesus. Knowing that, why would you turn away to anything else? And knowing that, why would we be prone to embrace something that says this is even better? Consider, my friends, this morning what may be taken away from you. Your spiritual freedom can be taken away for spiritual slavery. That's what the book of Galatians is about. Your faith may be taken away for mere observance of traditions and principles and precepts of men. Your love can be taken away for fear unity can be taken away for personal preference, and eternal assurance can be taken away for vindicating, self-vindicating works of the flesh. That's what's at stake here. That's why this passage is so important, and God has recorded it in His Word so that not only the Colossians read it, but that we have it today to protect ourselves. Because you better believe it may not be exactly the same teaching at Colossae that was coming in. There will be teachings that will appear to have wisdom that will take you away from Jesus. Colossians 1:19 says, "Beware of all those things instead of doing those things, and instead not holding fast to the head." I have no idea why the New American Standard does not capitalize with an H. Not holding fast to the head. This is speaking of Jesus. So clear here. Instead of holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and the ligaments, grows with the growth which is from God. In the middle of all of this discussion of being cautious, being aware of, and guarding against people coming in and spying out your liberty and putting things before you that can pull you away from Christ, there is this beautiful statement here, even though it's put in the negative, even though it's given as a warning, saying, be careful that you do not hold fast to the head. The hope here is there is glorious things for you if you will hold fast to Christ Jesus, who is our spiritual head. It is so glorious. And I want us to consider that this morning. First thing is this. Not holding fast to the head. Notice this. From whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with the growth which is from God. Consider what is at stake here. Not just you. That's very important. The entire body is at risk here. It is so easy to lose sight of something like this that is brought to our attention over and over again. We in the church, even though we are individuals, even though we spend most of our time probably alone, maybe the second most time with our family, and then maybe up to the point where we're spending with other believers in the body of Christ, with our local church, and we see, you know, we see much more of the people in this room than we do of churches throughout the very city that we live in, or that we're in now, or throughout the world. Even though we have such a limited perspective from our own vantage point, the Scriptures call us to consider the entire body. And just for a moment, I'll call your attention to this simple fact. Guess what? The rest of the body doesn't practice things just the way you do. They don't all sing the same hymns we sing. Their order of service differs a little bit. They take communion differently or at different intervals. Baptisms aren't the same. That's another subject. We'll leave that one. The entire body is to hold fast to the head. Our focus as believers is to ensure that we are building up every joint and every ligament. Every believer you encounter, you have a decision that you're often not even conscious of. Do you view it as your responsibility to point them to Christ? To speak to them of Christ? to find out from them how they may minister Christ to you as well. Or do we go through a world, we go through our lives, we go through everything in this world, and we just meet people? The entire body should be holding fast to Christ. We are to do so by encouraging every fellow member of the body of Christ to hold on to Jesus as their all. I'll ask you a question that I think could go one of two ways, and hopefully both ways in your mind. What can you do to encourage another believer to hold on to Jesus Christ as the head of the church? What have you done lately to do so? Have you been concerned that that's part of what you've been called to do? And I think what we'll find is there are far more opportunities when we think about it that we have let slip by. But here's the hopeful thing. It will make you sensitive in the coming weeks to opportunities you are to take hold of and encourage someone to hold on with everything in them to Jesus Christ. Union to Christ as the head is essential to every member. Not only is it essential to the body as a whole, but to every member of the body in detail. We must encourage each other continuously to be seeking Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, and I know the context of this is a little different, but just listen to this and hopefully I can make my point from it. Paul says this: "This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish to think that having begun by the Spirit, you are now perfected by the flesh?" I read that passage for you for two reasons. Number one, you may quote that very passage to somebody in the next few weeks. And I will tell you now, do not expect to be disappointed with the results. I think that if you were to take that passage and just meet somebody that you know as a believer and just say, "Hey, I was thinking about this verse," and mention it, you may be blown away by where the conversation goes. Somebody may look at you and say, "You know, no one's there to even bring that up to me." Did I receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Hearing what? The gospel. What's the gospel? Talk about Jesus. Or they know the gospel and they think, "You know, no one has made me think of the gospel lately outside of the church doors." Like, you'd have a wonderful conversation. Maybe this person thinks they're a believer and looks to you, like many professing believers do, and say heartbreaking words that may give you the most wonderful opportunity. What is the gospel? I can think of hundreds of different ways that this conversation could go with somebody, and it's never bad. It may point out, so it may bring a great concern to you about their heart, or maybe they may have great concern about your heart. I don't think that would be the case. Maybe it reveals that they don't even believe the gospel when you have this conversation. At least you're having it. And now, if you began by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Here's a conversation. What's your church doing these days? They may not even know how to answer it. Or maybe they absolutely know how to answer it. I don't know. But is it still preaching the gospel? Is it still holding forth Christ? Because that's what the Word of God says. If you started that way, by hearing with faith and the work of the Spirit, are you going to be growing in your faith by any other ways? Or do you think that we may still push each other forward and encourage each other in Christ and grow in Christ-likeness through the exact same method? Yes, we will. Yes, we will. And we've just had a conversation to do so. And so hold fast to the head. Corporately, I ask you, my friends, corporately, as part of the body of Christ, consider the mission of the church and the mission of you as a believer to focus upon the entire body. Colossians 1:19 says, "And not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with the growth which is from God." Now, by no means do I say just do this outside of the walls of our little congregation. Do it amongst ourselves as well. Hold forth the gospel to each other. Consider the mission of the church, the mission of you as a believer to focus on the entire body. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, the Apostle Paul gave his heart attitude, and I pray that it will be every one of those believers here today, that it would be their attitude as well. Galatians 4:19, Paul says, "My children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you." That's an awkward phrase. It's a little awkward for us to say, but the clear desire is this. Paul says, every bit of me desires to see Christ in you. Imagine our impact as believers in this world if we all embraced this calling. My greatest desire is to see Christ in others. How are you going to see Christ in them? Proclaim Him, that we may present every man complete in Christ. Our passage says, verse 19, instead of holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. I've just given you a what if. What if we all did this? What if we were all to have Paul's attitude to say, my attitude is to see Christ formed in those whom I meet? And maybe here this morning, we were so accustomed to preaching, and like, okay, well, that's a little sleight of hand there. You just said, what if, and you gave us this little thing that sounds really neat. But is that really what we're about? Yes. The will of God is for us to grow together. That's it. The will of God is for us to grow together. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. You a moment to turn to Ephesians 4. And notice verse 14. Paul says this: "As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming." That's exactly what Paul's talking about in Colossians chapter 2 as well. That there is the temptation for us to be carried about by things that appear to have wisdom. Paul in Ephesians says this: we are not to go through that. That's not what God intends for us. Verse 15. But, and here's what he says we are to do. This is the antidote to that, if you will. This is the instruction for the church to be doing together. And it should be gripping to our hearts. It should be gripping to our minds to say, this is our focus. This is what we're here for. But instead of being tossed about by all these waves and winds of doctrine, we are to be speaking the truth in love. Doesn't that sound so simple? In fact, this exposes a little bit of the trickery of men and the schemes of those who are running about with all of these winds of doctrine. Some would read Ephesians 4, verse 15, the very first part of it, and find that to be boring. Find that to be too basic. Find this sort of thing to be, oh, well, let's get on to the complicated stuff that most believers don't understand. Why? Because in those things, we'll grow in ways God wants us to grow. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, but by speaking the truth in love. What is the truth? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ revealed to us in God's Word. Speaking the truth. And do not let these next two words escape you. God Himself inspired has instructed that these two words follow the previous ones. You are to speak the truth specifically with love. Oh, how important that is. And let me try to point out to you that God's Word here is telling us others can be focused upon the Word, even the Gospel, but not do it with love. That sounds impossible, but it is very possible, let me tell you. Spurgeon had a quote. I didn't put it in here. Let me read it tonight. I've got it said. He said that there are some men that believe their spiritual gift is dispersion. And they don't honestly think that's a spiritual gift, but they kind of boast about how they can see how everybody else is wrong, and people tend to divide around them. You are to speak the truth in love. And friends, love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. You can correct me later if I'm missing a passage of Scripture right now, but I don't remember. Doctrine covers a multitude of sins. Confessions, church confessions cover a multitude of sins. Church covenants cover a multitude of sins. I digress a bit. Speaking the truth with love. We are, by God's will, to grow up in all aspects. Again, take God's word at His word. We are to grow up in every aspect. How? By proclaiming the truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, namely Christ, from whom the entire body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. What a glorious passage. What a glorious truth. What a glorious picture of this is who we are as believers within the body of Christ. This is the work we should expect. This is the work we should strive for. This is the work that we should look for within the church and within the body. Question for you. Do you want to grow It's kind of rhetorical. But I'd like you to answer yes. Not out loud. You don't have to. Do you want to grow? I hope your heart says yes. I hope nobody's here thinking, oh, well, you just said all we have to do is proclaim the gospel, and I know the gospel, so I'm good. I've arrived. No, we want to grow. You know how you grow? You keep focusing upon Christ and the gospel. See, the gospel reveals to us Him. And there is more to know about Him than you know right now. There is more to knowing Christ Jesus than we will attain in this lifetime. And even though we stand now, perhaps at the most advantageous of any time in history, there is no time before now where more people have lived growing in their knowledge of Christ and even recording it, not only on dusty books somewhere, but now we've got this internet thing where people have taken all of these works, digitized them, put them out there, stuck something in every one of your pockets so that you can pull up and even speak to it and ask questions and have it at your very hand about people who have grown more in the things of Christ. And tomorrow there will be even more. And the question is before us, and you don't have to mine every inch of the internet. You don't have to mine all those things out there. It's available for you. You just have to listen to each other. It's a glorious thing. It's what I just read to you from Ephesians. That this building, this temple that God is constructing, which is being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, those are you and me, every block and joint, every bit of mortar in here are composed of believers. And it says, according to the proper working of each individual part, we are causing the growth of the body for the building up of itself, again, in love. Look to grow together by speaking of Christ to one another. If you want to think that, you want to say, I want to grow in my discipleship this year. I want to grow in my devotion this year. Absolutely. What book am I supposed to use? Well, this one. But how do I learn? Reading. But isn't there some program? Yeah. It's called the church. And that may just blow your mind. But it's what God has placed there. The growth that is caused by the outworking of each individual part. I'll tell you something this morning, and you may not believe it. Every one of you here this morning is here for my discipleship. I am able to learn from you. You are able to challenge me. You have a vantage point that I have not yet seen. Christ has led you through different experiences that I don't care how young you are or how old you are, I may not have encountered yet, and I need to hear Christ proclaimed from your life. Does anybody here have the whole scriptures worked out? Got it all memorized, ready to go? We have children here this morning who have memorized more scripture than we probably have in our working minds over the past 5 or 10 years ourselves. We can learn from one another. I'm challenging you here this morning. Build up one another by working out in faith, in love. I need to hear you. I need to speak to you. And it's not just me. Every one of us needs one another. And I hope, friends, this morning you will think, that's a glorious thing. Discipleship, this is, a paradigm shift that I don't even know that I'm comfortable enough saying here. Discipleship is not finding the most mature believer you could find and trying to learn of them. It's not what the Scriptures present. Let me read to you Colossians 1:19 again. And not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, does what? Grows. Discipleship is encountering one another and proclaiming Christ to one another, that we learn from every one here today. Growth is what comes from this. Take advantage of every moment to be together. This, some of you know this too well, and I am thankful and glorious to say that any time I have come with a pastoral council and asked about what I'm going to talk about, it has never been met with, "Well, forget you." Believe me, I appreciate that. Take every advantage of every moment to be together. And I know there are reasons, believe me, and I want no sort of legalism going around. I want nobody to feel guilty for taking a vacation. I want nobody for being, you know, feeling guilty or condemned for attending an event in their family. But don't get comfortable not being together. Some of the most treasured moments you will find can be missed by simply being careless with their time. I know the sort of guilt that can be felt from such a statement, so I'm saying it very lightly, very gently. But I also know that there are so many things that we can miss if we just think, "I heard the prayer request last week. I heard them this week. I probably didn't miss anything in between." Our hearts are revealed to one another in moments of time. There are some who haven't mentioned anything as a prayer request for over a decade. One night, sitting on your couch, could share their heart in ways that you needed to hear and pass by in just a couple of minutes. We're never all going to be there at everything. I understand that. Be convinced by this scripture that it is important to be together and to be seeking one another, because that's the way we grow in Christ. How? Because, dear friends, Christ dwells in our midst. See, there is the most theologically astounding reason that we are to be together, because Christ dwells in our midst. And so, friends, hold fast to the head, Jesus Christ Himself, for your growth. Colossians chapter 3, we'll get there in the coming months, speaks of a renewal. Wouldn't you like to be renewed today? Wouldn't you like to say, "You know what, I'm tired of being tired. I'm tired of being worn down. I'm tired of just being narrow-minded and focus and tunnel vision and not seeing glory." There is a renewal spoken of. And Colossians chapter 2 warns and says, don't think it's going to be by some coming to you, holding out things that have the appearance of wisdom and taking you away from Christ. There's a renewal, a true renewal that we are to have, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free. But Christ is all, and get this, He is in all. Every believer, regardless of background, Christ is dwelling within them. And He is dwelling in the midst of them and you. So then, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. Every one of these things I'm about to read are things that we do to one another. Put on a heart of compassion, of kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. I'll pause for just a moment to say right there, this passage guarantees you will be hurt by other believers. Be prepared for that. God wouldn't tell us that we need to bear with one another if there wasn't something to bear. He wouldn't tell us that His glory is revealed and there is a renewal that we need to experience, which renewal happens as we forgive one another if we don't offend one another. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, here's the instruction. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you forgive them. And beyond every one of these things, you are to put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. I want you to think about that. Beyond all of these, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. I disagree with those who say doctrine divides. There are some that say, oh, if you focus on doctrine, then I think true doctrine unites. But the Scriptures emphasize that we are to put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called into one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. I still have yet to see it. Again, correct me later if I'm wrong. Don't do it now because it would be embarrassing to me. I have yet to see a formal discipleship program that says the way you are to grow is to sing to others and have others sing to you. And yet it's one of the most scriptural things. Teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thanksgiving, thankfulness in your hearts to God. Friends, we must hold fast to the head. We must encourage each other to hold fast. Jesus Christ is whom we must hold forth to one another. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says this, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, and the same Greek word is there, let us hold fast to our confession. What's our confession? The gospel. Proclaiming Christ to each other. Few things here, I'll close. I know I'm going long this morning. 43 minutes, you guys are holding on. Wow. Just a few more. If you want to hold fast to the head, who is Jesus our Lord, do so through faith and obedience to Jesus, what He has called you to do. Faith without works is spiritual death. Works without faith is spiritual murder, just so you know. That's what Colossians 2 is warning against. People will come to you with works, saying, do this, apart from faith in Christ, and it will lead you to death. Faith, union with Jesus Christ must be foremost, but it can't be alone. It should work out within us. Love. It should work out within us righteousness and holiness and service and serving one another. do so. Proclaim Christ to one another. Here's my second small thing that may step on toes just a little bit. I'm sorry, but I do that every now and then. Share scriptures of glorious truth of the gospel with each other. And if you're not sure when the right time to do that is, every couple of weeks, we open up a time just for you to do that here at church. I'm serious when I say in those times, if there's a passage of scripture upon your heart, share it. Guess why? We need to hear it. So, part of the sermon this morning, come prepared. And you know what? Maybe six people jump in before you and think, I don't want to do it. Okay, save it for next time. Come prepared. Have a scripture upon your heart. Something that points others to Christ. And if right now you're thinking, you know, I just didn't have one and I feel bad about that, great, fix that this week. Focus upon Christ and hold fast to the head. You may say, well, it's the same scripture you referenced already. Fine. I need to hear it too. And more importantly, it'd do me a lot of good if somebody else said that passage meant a lot to me too. If you're really shy, write it on a card and give it to me. Say, Steve, would you share this? I'd get nervous. Okay. I'd happily do that. And I think others would benefit greatly. And you know what? If you're on one of those social network things, Facebook, Twitter, whatever you may be, and you say, you know what? I want to encourage everybody else to hold fast to Jesus. What a wonderful place to do it. What a wonderful place to do it. Love Jesus with all of your heart, your soul, and your strength. One more scripture and one more quote. Same Greek word is used in the Septuagint for the Song of Solomon. Chapter 3. On my bed, night after night, I sought him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but I did not find him. I must arise now and go about the city, in the streets and in the squares. I must seek him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but I did not find him. The watchmen who make the rounds in the city found me. And I said, have you seen him whom my soul loves? Scarcely had I left them when I found him whom my soul loves. And I held fast, and I would not let him go. Friends, hold fast to Jesus and do not let him go. Lastly, if you don't know what it is to love Jesus, if you don't know what it is to experience his love, these words from Spurgeon I thought were incredibly important for you to hear, because you may be hearing me talk about these things and seeing others shake their heads, and you may say, oh, all these people, they must be so spiritually mature to know this. Let me say the same thing Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, said. The way in which we as believers learn the mystery of his love is as open to you as it was to us. This is the way. Put your trust in him and what he did when he died for you. We knew we were not worthy of him, but we still trusted him. Through his grace we did. Without being introduced in any way or prepared by the church in any way to draw near to him, I ask you, draw near to him and cast yourself on his mercy as we did. May you do the same, and let there not be an hour's delay, for the days are flying by and the years are flying by. May you now turn to Jesus and hold fast to him whom your soul longs for. Let's pray.